Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
The University of Utah Utes are one of only three teams ranked in the top nine both offensively and defensively in yards per play nationally. They are destroying teams. They move up to five in the national college football playoff polls, and yet they are still shown some incredible disrespect by some notable names. Welcome, everybody, to Believe in the Pac-12 on the Believe Podcast Network, along with ESPN's Ryan Leaf. My name is Jonathan Rifkin. Delighted to be with you on a Thursday or whatever day you may be listening, no matter how you're listening or where you're listening. We appreciate you making us a part of your busy plans. Please rate, review, and subscribe across all listening platforms. Ryan, Paul Feinbaum is on the move to be public enemy number one once again. Calls out Rob Mullins and his credibility a week ago. Called out Dabo Swinney and that Clemson football team a couple days ago. And then I don't mean to beat a dead horse with a stick because I know that everybody in sports media is talking about it. Just a couple hours ago, he said that the University of Utah should not be in the college football playoff because, simply, they're Utah.
Yeah, it was. It's a silly thing. I don't really want to dignify it too much with a comment other than, you know, he's become one of his callers. You know, he was centered in the South. Around a fanatic fan base that is based in the SEC about brand. And to them, they do not believe that Utah is a brand. And that's certainly not the case. Everybody else who actually does their job and watches all of college football, if you're covering the national landscape of college football, can plainly see that Utah is one of the best teams in the country. Their resume, the eye test, all the things that go into it belongs in this conversation.
I forgot to tease a big announcement that we have coming up here at the end of the podcast, so stick with us. We talk about Utah, and the numbers speak for themselves. Sure, they don't have a top 25 win, but USC is seen in the eyes of the committee as a top 25 team. Friday night loss, we all know the logistics that went into that. We don't need to go into that any further because I feel like we've been talking about this loss for quite some time. And at this point in the season, it doesn't matter because everybody has bad losses. We'll get to the Utah versus Oklahoma and the implications with Oregon and Utah in this Pac-12 championship, the Big Ten champ, or rather the Big 12 championship and the Big Ten championship here in just a moment. But Utah's defense, 241 yards per game, 185 passing, 56 rushing. They haven't given up or they haven't allowed an opponent to succeed 300 yards this season. What more do they need to show that they need a top 25 win? And they very well will probably get it on Friday. Is that one top 25 win enough for all of this naysaying to be put to rest with what's going on?
There is no naysaying. The committee told you last night that this is what it is. They're fifth. They win, they're in. The committee told you last night. So there isn't a bunch of naysayers. There's Paul Feinbaum, who's got a big microphone and a platform. I don't think anybody else out there is saying anything other than that. Kirk Herbstreit believes that if Utah wins and does it in a in a deliberate fashion, they're in. The committee has kept them ahead of any Big 12 team for the entirety of it. They don't have a top 25 win yet. They're still ahead of a team that has a top 7 win. The gap, if the BCS existed, would be large. But since we look at it as 5 and 6, we think it's much closer than what it is. The gap is a lot larger than what people think in terms of, let's say, percentage. And I don't believe in, unless there's something outrageous that happens, like, you know, a 70-7 drubbing by Oklahoma over Baylor or vice versa, does anybody jump Utah and Utah gets in. Now, my only question after all of this, then, is what happens if and when LSU wins. If they beat a number 4 Georgia team, is that enough for the committee to leapfrog Ohio State into the number one spot? Because If it is, I think that's Utah's best opportunity to get to the national championship.
To put this all into context, Oklahoma, one loss on the season. Yes, one loss on the season. They lost 48-41 to Kansas State, a Kansas State team that did have a good season at 8-4, but a very bad loss in their Big 12 penultimate game, 31-12 at home to Baylor, a team that Oklahoma beat, still lost to Kansas State. They lost to West Virginia 24-20, and their final loss was to Texas 27-24. So Kansas State, yeah, they're a good team. Not a team that should put up 48 against Oklahoma. Not a team that should be beating Oklahoma, especially given the implication that they got destroyed by Baylor, a team that lost to Oklahoma. So, yeah, Utah's losses to USC, but USC is better than Kansas State. And Utah.
Well, where do you get that from? They're both 8-4. USC has a terrible loss against BYU. I mean,
do you think that the BYU loss is worse than losing to West Virginia at home?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
West Virginia's not a good football team.
They're a Power 5 team. Yes, they're much better this year than their first year under Neil Brown. Yes, they're a much better football team than what people expected them to be. Yes, you don't lose to BYU as an independent. Group of 5, essentially, in people's minds. You don't lose that football game. I don't care what it is. If anything, they're equivalent in terms of an 8-4 team and an 8-4 team. In fact, I'm surprised Kansas State's not in the top 25, to be honest with you. Oklahoma State is 8-4. They're at 25. Kansas State is at 8-4, and they dominated that Oklahoma State team. So, you know, this for me is a bunch of nonsense. Who you lost to, who of anything. The bottom line is, if you've been watching football over the last 7 weeks, one of the four best teams in the country is Utah, period. You know, doesn't mean they can't lose Friday night, and that all will be over. But if you're looking what somebody has shown you over the last 7 weeks of the season, they are a better football team than both Oklahoma and Baylor. In fact, I would say Baylor, having lost that game to Oklahoma, has looked better than Oklahoma over the last 7 weeks. So I don't know where the Oklahoma rhetoric keeps coming into play and all of this stuff, but I do feel like no matter what transpires, if Utah wins and LSU wins, I don't care what happens in the Baylor-Oklahoma game. It means that Utah goes to the final.
Well, Oklahoma does have to win. But Utah has to win before all of this actually can even come to fruition. Let's talk about this game. 5 o'clock ABC on Friday kicks off college football championship season here for the entire nation. Utah-Oregon spread is 6.5 in Santa Clara. We know that Oregon Duck fans don't only travel well, but they occupy that entire area once they graduate. So this is going to be, I would say fandom is going to favor Oregon a little bit. I don't think that matters. What matters is that Utah has an incredible front seven and Oregon has an amazing offensive line, and who's going to win that battle? Because ultimately, whoever wins that battle is probably going to win this game.
If you look at evidence, Utah's won the battle all year long. Where Oregon's offensive line, for how dominant they are, has been up and down. They haven't been the physical force and dominating factor all year long. I mean, look at the Arizona State game for one. It hasn't been the case. You can look at the USC game and say, well, the defense, blew that football game, in which they did. But don't forget the offense, you know, turned it over inside the 5-yard line, got field goals when they should have got touchdowns. I don't even think if Zach Moss was healthy in that football game, they win that football game. They blew it. On all phases and all fronts. So that loss is just more significantly in the rear view than what we just saw play out 2 weeks ago in Tempe. And for me, I just don't know if Oregon has an identity. They're still up in the air. Are they a running team? Are they a physical running team? Or are they going to rely on Justin Herbert to throw the football? They've never fully told us who that is. And with the fact that if they don't know who they are, they certainly aren't going to be the team that does it in the most stressful scenario and setting. Ironically enough, they can lose this football game, and if Utah gets in, they'll back their way into the Rose Bowl. Crazy how that happens.
So you've been talking about Utah in this game with more than enough potential, not only to cover the spread here at 6.5. By the way, over-under at 47, very low scoring, by far the lowest over-under of any of the championship games this weekend. But you've been talking about Utah not only covering the spread, but should be seen as a double-digit favorite.
Yeah, I see this score, depending on how bad the weather is. The weather could limit and make that number reasonable for the over-under. But I think if if it were chalk, if it, everything holds chalk, I think Utah wins this game 31-13. So what's the over-under, 44?
47.
Oh, so it would be the under.
Yeah, take the under. No matter what, take the under.
I don't know.
I don't think that either – I mean, Oregon hasn't beaten that over in a couple of weeks. I know that Washington State and Washington, but Cal, they didn't beat it. Utah's defense is so good. They hold teams so low. I mean, Oregon State, they didn't beat it.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if Utah scored 40 points themselves too. So 42-10, and it's an over. I'd probably go. I'd take Utah minus the 6.5 and go with the under. Roll that one, gambling friends out there.
All right, do you parlay it with Oklahoma minus 9?
Hell no. You roll Oklahoma or Baylor plus 9 on that deal. There's a really good chance that Baylor wins this football game. So I'm taking those 9 points and running. The SEC other battle that we're talking about, as soon as Utah wins, if they are able to win on Friday night, they become the biggest LSU Tiger fans imaginable. They'll be out there rooting for those Bayou Bengals to get it done. They're 7.5 favorite?
They are 7 now. People have been taking the under.
All right, so they win by a touchdown. LSU wins. Georgia's out. Utah steps in. Baylor's going to be the conversation. The lack of non-conference, eerily similar to Utah's, but Utah's was just a little bit better. There's a common opponent with Utah and Oklahoma, though, and that's UCLA. And Utah held them to 11 points less, scored 1 point more. If that's a common opponent they look at, and if they're splitting hairs by that much, that could play into effect when the committee makes their decision.
Not only that, but they were 28.5-point favorites in that game and covered.
21.
Covered. 28.5 was Colorado, and guess what? They covered.
Yep.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, this team is just burying everybody. I don't expect that to be the case for this game. I know we just previewed Oklahoma-Baylor a little bit and LSU-Georgia as well. Who's your Heisman? But if you had to choose between Jalen Hurts and his 1,200 yards on the ground and 16 touchdowns and 3,400 yards in the air and 31 touchdowns and Joe Burrow and what he's led this LSU offense to, 4,300 yards and 44 touchdowns through the air, who do you pick?
Say that again. Who do I pick for what?
Heisman.
Oh, easy. Easy. It's Joe Burrow. I mean, he's played in bigger games than anybody all year long and dominated. It's never had a bad game all season. He could go out and throw 10 interceptions against Georgia and them lose, and he'll still win the Heisman Trophy.
Who's your Pac-12 player of the year?
Right now it's Tyler Huntley. Depending on the outcome of this football game, if Justin Herbert does something really, really special and they are able to get the upset and win, I would probably go in the direction of Justin Herbert when it's all said and done. But if Tyler Huntley just does what he's been doing all year long, the young man deserves the honor.
So on Tuesday, after we dropped the pod, it was announced that Coach Chris Peterson at Washington was stepping down. Head coach or former assistant coach, now head coach Jimmy Lake, takes over as the program's head coach. We haven't had an opportunity to talk about this here on the podcast, but doing our due diligence as a Pac-12 representative outlet, if you will, what does this say? You know, this is the first coaching change that we've seen in the Pac-12. Not that we saw this coming, because we've been talking about Clay Helton. There are some whispers about people here and there. Nobody talked about Coach Peterson in Washington. And now we heard, obviously, Mike Leach interviewed at Arkansas. What's going on in the state of Washington? And how does this change the outlook for the University of Washington? Because they have a top 15 recruiting class coming in. They're coming off like a 7-5 disappointing season, still bowl eligible. They've had a really great time building this program under Coach Peterson the last 4 or 5 years. Are they in a position to go on and still be successful without him at the helm?
We'll see. Of course, I think he's built a identity and a foundation. And the guy that made the seamless transition with Jen Cohen at the helm there, the athletic director, Jimmy Lake, I think is exactly why I think they'll have continued success. And I also think this is also a way to shake things up in terms of what they're going to do offensively. Bush Hamlin probably is not going to be the offensive coordinator. This may let Jacob Eason take a look in the mirror and go, okay, hey, we're going to do some different things here. Maybe I need to come back, change my legacy as a college football quarterback, or he makes the decision to go pro. Either way, Garbers is coming in a year from now. I don't think that this football team is going to is going to miss a step. And that's not to say that what Chris Peterson has been able to do isn't impactful. I think it leads you to the idea that he was so impactful that he could put something in place that would continue in fine form.
The whole Washington football story, both at UW and at Washington State over the last couple of years as it's unfolded, has been one of the more fascinating conversations in the Pac-12 just because Washington State's success and progression under head coach Mike Leach. Washington getting to play Auburn in the college football playoff just a few years back from where they were in prior years to where they got. I mean, the success in the state of Washington for college football over the last, I don't know, 6-7 years. I mean, we've seen progressions. How does that success continue if Mike Leach does leave? Or if, I mean, we just talked about Washington. I mean, do you see the forecast for Washington, the state of Washington, and its college football teams to continue on this upward trend?
Well, I mean, I like that you look at it as an upward trend, but Washington State hasn't won anything. You know, they haven't won a damn thing. They played for the North title the last 3 years, not including this year, and haven't won a damn thing. So I don't know what you gauge your success on, the fact that they're bowl eligible for 5 consecutive years. Yeah.
I think it's just relative to program history.
Well, program history, they went to Rose Bowls.
You were at one of them.
I was at one of them. Jason Getzler was at the other. That's where they want to get back to, and they haven't been able to do it. So I will say this. They have improved. But I do know the fan base doesn't just want to be a team that wins 8 or 9 games a year. They want to compete for a championship. I think Mike Leach has done a tremendous job of building the foundation. The facilities are now up to par with others in the conference. I think you have a great athletic director in Pat Chun. And if Mike Leach were to take another job, I do not think that the program would necessarily take a step back. And that's saying a lot, because I think that for, you know, a while there, you thought this team may not be able to do anything without Mike Leach. And I really think that he's built something, like Chris Peterson has built something, that it can go on after the fact if they are gone.
Keep tabs on what's going on in the state of Washington in terms of its football programs as this progresses. I'm sure that we're going to learn a lot more, especially from Washington State, with some of the news that we've been hearing whispers from out there. On ESPN on Saturday morning, everybody's going to be watching the game at Kid Brewer Stadium. Appalachian State hosting Louisiana for the Sun Belt Championship. You will be on that call. I know that this is perhaps the most underrated Group of Five championship. I know Memphis, Cincinnati is going to be exciting. If Memphis wins, they'll probably represent the Group of Five in New Year's Six Bowl. Boise State wins, Memphis loses. That could change. Don't have to get into that whole logistical mess. But this Appalachian State Louisiana game has a lot of intrigue to it. Can you enlighten us on what all of our listeners are going to be watching? Not the Big 12 championship that is up against you guys, but the Sun Belt Championship.
Well, I think App State's probably the best Group of Five team out there. I think their resume is better than anybody else's. They have 2 wins over Power Five opponents on the road. Inexplicably, they continue to lose to Georgia Southern. It's just a schematic thing that gives them a problem. If they dominate a Louisiana team that they had trouble with but found a way to win earlier in the year, I think they easily could be considered by the committee the top Group of Five. And if Memphis were to get upset by Cincinnati, which I don't know if that's going to happen, and Hawaii does something pretty special in Idaho, App State could be the recipient and go to the Cotton Bowl, and I think that would be pretty, pretty darn amazing. I get the chance to go to Boone, North Carolina this weekend to get that call, so excited about that.
Catch Ryan on that call with Clay Metvick at 9 a.m. That'll kick off the Saturday slate. I know ABC has Oklahoma-Baylor, but watch that Appalachian State, Louisiana. Give App State some love. Give the Raging Cajuns some love, one of the best mascots in the Division I level. Before we get out of here, big announcement on Sunday. We will be live streaming our podcast to Twitter on Ryan Leaf's Twitter, Ryan D. Leaf, on our favorite social media network. Not only will it be recorded, but it will be live streamed. We will be doing a live reaction show to the college football playoff, releasing their final rankings. I'm sure Ryan will have a lot of thoughts, and we will make sure that to get you those live on Twitter. on Sunday. 9 o'clock is when we will be going live. We hope you can enjoy it.
9 Pacific.
9 Pacific, yes. We hope that you can join us an hour before football begins, NFL football begins. What better way to warm up for a really interesting week of NFL football than with a little college football playoff committee ranking reactions right here on Believe in the Pac-12. But until Sunday morning, bright and early, for Ryan Leaf, my name is Jonathan Rifkin, signing off. Please rate, review, and subscribe. This has been another edition, the final regular season edition of Believe in the Pac-12 on the Believe Podcast Network.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.